Well, I call my memoir The Fog of Peace, of course, in reference to Clausewitz's famous description of war, the fog of war, for two reasons. One is that more and more the separation between war and peace is not as clear-cut as it used to be. And that's particularly true for peacekeeping operations, where very often you see peacekeepers deploys in places where it's no more full-fledged war, but it's far from real peace. And so the fog of peace is a good description of that situation. But there is another reason. When we deploy peacekeepers in a country, we don't have and we can't have a very clear idea of what is the goal, what is the kind of peace we want for that country. And we should not have too clear an idea, because it's up to the people of the country, to the people who have made war, to decide what kind of peace they really want. So there has to be some humility there.
Were you in a kind of a fog then when you were at the head of peacekeeping operations?
Well, I tried to keep a clear moral compass, because I think the unique quality of the United Nations, it is there for the people who are not the powerful people. That's what Dagmar Marshall once said in a very famous speech when he was being challenged by powerful member states. I think the role of the UN Secretariat is really to embody the principles of the Charter. And I, as a head of peacekeeping, I felt strongly that I was there to defend the interests of people not sitting at the table of the Security Council, and that my role was really to be their voice.
Did you ever feel powerless when you attended Security Council meetings?
The space of the UN Secretariat is greater than people think. And I would make a distinction between those issues that are very strategic, very important for a powerful member state. There, frankly, the UN is in a very weak position to play a significant role. And then those situations where there is no real strategic interest of a powerful member state. And in those situations, actually, if the Secretariat of the United Nations comes up with reasonable ideas, intelligent proposals, it can have some influence.
As former head of peacekeeping operations, what would you think was the lowest moment, either for you or for the office you were in charge of?
Probably the discovery of the massive sexual abuse in Democratic Republic of Congo and then other missions. I have to be honest, I had underestimated the scope of the problem. We attacked it in a very decisive manner. Kofi Annan got a report on sexual abuse with a range of recommendations. What saddens me is that this was more than 10 years ago now, and many of those recommendations have not been implemented by member states.
And since we talked about the lowest moment you've had, what would be the best?
Well, that's the spring of 2003, when there was the risk of massive killings in the district of northeastern Congo. And I think rapid action of the United Nations, mobilizing a multinational force and reinforcing the mission, that was a race against the clock for several months. It saved many lives. And so I'm very proud of that moment. I'm very proud that the UN contributed to made the different all the difference between life and death. At the same time, I deeply regret that that success was not transformed into a strategic success for the whole of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And by that, I mean the consolidation of the institutions of Congo to make it a state that can protect its own people.
And what pushed you to write these memoirs? It's been a few years since you left that occupation. What pushed you?
I had been through some of the most important crises of the first 15 years of this century. And I believe that, unfortunately, the kind of crisis I was confronted with, we're going to see more of them in coming years. I felt that sharing this experience could help the people who are going to have to address those crises in the future.
And my last question is regarding the future. How do you see, how do you perceive the future for peacekeeping?
Well, it's very interesting that in spite of doubts on peacekeeping, because it's costly, it's complicated, there are doubts on whether we really always know what we are doing, you haven't seen a major contraction of peacekeeping. And I think the member states of the United Nations recognize that both morally and strategically, the notion that you could just let states collapse and let ungoverned or weakly governed spaces grow is not an acceptable and sustainable solution. And so I think peacekeeping, stabilized peace operations are here to stay. I think what's important now is to recalibrate a bit our ambitions. We are not in the business of re-engineering societies. This is for the people of the societies concerned to decide in which society they want to live. We can just help them, but not pretend that we are going to reshape the world. That's the people who live in those countries who will reshape their own countries.